Blog Talk Radio.
Gideon!
This is Hillary Freeson, Frank Boston, Trey Dawson, and the Dalai.
Come, we tell them this time
I'm ready. It's like you're crazy.
Every time.
And you never know. You should know.
Everything that I tell you. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their
illusion.
Now getting caught in their confusion. Escaping this mental invasion. I've seen many situations. I had to avoid their illusion. Now getting caught in their confusion. Lest a man escape this invasion. It seems as if you're right. So why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. See that there is pride behind all this fight. Cause I first should see what's wrong from what's right. Yeah, it seems so hard to express my feelings. Oh Lord, about the misconceptions some are teaching. Oh Lord, Lord, Lord. Can't you see the prophecies
revealing?
Oh Lord, well, yeah. Segregation is rising.
Man, I be reaper them so. Oh, man, I be reaper them so.
Ambitious mind, elevating so. Ambitious mind, evil see them as so.
Frustration turns good friends into foe. Working day and night, trying to overthrow.
To counsel together, plot against a brother.
Grabbing up a real who is the mind of a hero.
Why?
He the wicked gates a turn back flow. Oh, the wicked gates a turn back flow.
It seems as if you're right, so why should I fight? Just to prove a point at this time. I see that there is pride behind all this fight. Cause I first should see what's wrong from what's right. Can it be so hard to express my feelings? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, about the misconceptions of my teachings. Oh, boy, boy. Hey, can't you see prophecies revealing?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, help us now that segregation is rising.
It's rising.
When some we learn them and teach, then no way I'm gonna reach. Ignorance of the fool, yes, yet no one speak. Oh, eating the people, let my straight out of seat. Everyone feed themselves, but please on a seat. Eat of the glory, the earth to the meek. Hey, hey, if I laugh, I weak. Harvest time, how when them are gonna reap. You think the judge are dead, but in my life, I'm a seat.
Yeah.
Oh. We all got to reap what we sow.
We sow. Oh.
Man up to reap what we sow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man up to, I say. Oh.
You know it's Penthouse Gideon music once again.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Seem to be having a few difficulties here with this damn thing. There we go. Yeah, one more time. Greetings. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. My thing is, tonight, I was going to do another show, but I wait till Friday. It's going to be kind of freaky. What I want to do on Friday, that one's going to be interesting. I'm waiting for this. I'm still waiting for these psychiatrists to give me a call back. They're kind of scared to come on. But I was thinking about tonight, the U.S. banking system and the Federal Reserve. All this shit is all one big scam. got a few clips I wanted to play. So, but I'm going to wait a little bit. Got a few tracks and see if some, like, illustrious guests show up. So stick it up.
Stick it up. They have your target. Stick it up. You to be trained and practice.
I like that track. Hey, brother, there. Hello? Okay, I guess that brother's out too. Play something else, Dan.
Okay.
What's up, brother? Because I'm having some problems with these damn phones and some other stuff, man. How you doing?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing good, man. I want to run my show tonight talking about the Federal Reserve. I got a couple of clips I want to play on some stuff, man, a little bit later on. But real quick, man, what do you think about the banking, U.S. banking system, Federal Reserve? And people, when we're talking about nationhood, nation building, how could this go ahead and fit into what we try to do, the U.S. banking system?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Honestly, I'm just be real with you, it'll never fit in.
Really?
You can never incorporate the robber into your plan of prosperity.
Never incorporate the robber into your prosperity. Hmm. Yeah, that makes
sense.
How's
he gonna be in your retirement plan? He's robbing you before you put it in.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes
sense. He's robbing you more than just the monetary value of the fake money. He's robbing you of the dignity of taking care of yourself and staying off of his
shit.
System.
Oh,
you
shit. I got
like
some
heroin.
I got some clips I want to play later on, man. It says just what you just said. It addressed just what you just said, man. And it's amazing that you got so many people wanting to keep on believing in this and that tagging on to that I'm an American kind of shit, man. It just fucking kills me, man. So let me run a couple of reggae tracks because I'm waiting for some people to show up, man, and hopefully they show up, man. Otherwise, we're going to get this rolling because I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of things. That, you know, one's called the Goldsmith Tale, and then also some questions that I got from Ron Paul was about to question the guys at Ben Bernanke, Federal Reserve. But just his opening statement said enough. So I got that. I'm going to play that. So let me play a couple of these things real quick, and we'll get to see where these people at, all right?
For sure.
Ah, dear check 1, 2, 3. All of something respect to my life, but you might tell the old song, much of the place that I'm down.
Well, he's come back, who's down, straight up, and the team's on the stone down. And I'm going to bounce down, check alone. Yeah, I'm going to use me. Just down. Lion rule the jungle, we don't fear. Firm like Gibraltar, always the beer. From the cheetah and the elephant, I won't get scared. If I should be angry, then I get afraid. I know anything me eat, I forget your regular beard. Use up the hygiene roots, the first aid. Instinct and ability, A1 grade. Physical agility, that's how me gonna put here. So try cut off the lion's mane. Wake up sleeping lion, then you stand in the vent. Yeah, send me no one you over and over again. Difficult to capture, now but then came. Born accustomed to the tropical rain. Roar! Take me young to grow, I will summon the servant to protect the old. Lion like the fire, so the vibes can cold. Warriors behind the songs when the Congo man of old. Teaching the world with power and sound. In high places, low places, I come around. Tell all the hypocrisy come down. Expose themselves over all around. I move to the band and this one is the sound. To teach the world about the original sword. Round and fear so more than they do. I come back around. Each up on the rhythm and a chant. Yeah, lion a roar and people start to tremble. King said the lion is just something we humble. Can't hear the lion and feed him with food. Don't be out of order and don't you ever be rude. Lion trample car, lion of him paw. Lion try dango anywhere he war. 14 corners all over the earth. Save so the lion a move. Star, Zion rule the jungle without fear. Burn like Gibraltar, I'll be at the beer. From the gate, the elephant I won't have scared. If I should get angry, they all would be afraid. And not anything me eat, me have to get a regular bed. Loser be Zion rule the first head. Instinct and ability, A1 grade. Physical agility, that's my middle name. Who dare to try to cut off the lion's mane? Wake up, sleeping lion, you shall be in the bed, huh? Tell me no one over and over again. Difficult to capture, now go take game. Born wild, accustomed to the tropical plain. Murder style, now we come my snake to do play the part of the bass. I know what the man has said, son.
Yeah, yeah, that's what them doing all the time. Lord,
what the man has said?
That's what them doing all the time.
Y'all, I'm pulling. No matter that one
the a. Most of us believe that banks lend out money that has been entrusted to them by depositors. Easy to picture, but not the truth. In fact, banks create the money they loan, not from the bank's own earnings, not from the money deposited, but directly from the borrower's promise to repay. The borrower's signature on the loan papers is an obligation to pay the bank the amount of the loan plus interest, or lose the house, the car, whatever asset was pledged as collateral. That's a big commitment from the borrower. What does the same signature require of the bank? The bank gets to conjure into existence the amount of the loan and just write it into the borrower's account. Sound far-fetched? Surely that can't be true. But it is. To demonstrate how this miracle of modern banking came about, consider this simple story, The Goldsmith's Tale. Once upon various times, pretty much anything was used as money. It just had to be portable, and enough people had to have faith that it could later be exchanged for things of real value, like food, clothing, and shelter. Shells, cocoa beans, pretty stones, even feathers have been used as money. Gold and silver were attractive, soft, and easy to work with, so some cultures became expert with these metals. Goldsmiths made trade much easier by casting coins, standardized units of these metals whose weight and purity was certified. Well, to protect his gold, the goldsmith needed a vault, and soon his fellow townsmen were knocking on his door, wanting to rent space to safeguard their own coins and valuables. Before long, the goldsmith was renting every shelf in the vault and earning a small income from his vault rental business. Years went by, and the goldsmith made an astute observation. Depositors rarely came in to remove their actual physical gold, and they never all came in at once. That was because the claim checks the goldsmith had written as receipts for the gold were being traded in the marketplace as if they were the gold itself. This paper money was far more convenient than heavy coins, and amounts could simply be written instead of laboriously counted one by one for each transaction. Meanwhile, the goldsmith had another business. He lent out his gold, charging interest. Well, as convenient claim check money came into acceptance, borrowers began asking for their loans in the form of these claim checks instead of the actual metal. As industry expanded, more and more people asked the goldsmith for loans. This gave the goldsmith an even better idea. He knew that very few of his depositors ever removed their actual gold, so the goldsmith figured he could easily get away with lending out claim checks against his depositors' gold in addition to his own. As long as the loans were repaid, his depositors would be none the wiser and no worse off. And the goldsmith, now more banker than artisan, would make a far greater profit than he could by lending only his own gold. For years, the goldsmith secretly enjoyed a good income from the interest earned on everybody else's deposits. Now a prominent lender, he grew steadily richer than his fellow townsmen, and he flaunted it. Suspicions grew that he was spending his depositors' money. His depositors got together and threatened withdrawal of their gold if the goldsmith didn't come clean about his newfound wealth. Contrary to what one might expect, this did not turn out to be a disaster for the goldsmith. Despite the duplicity inherent in his scheme, his idea did work. The depositors had not lost anything. Their gold was all safe in the goldsmith's vault. Well, rather than taking back their gold, the depositors demanded that the goldsmith, now their banker, cut them in by paying them a share of the interest. and that was the beginning of banking. The banker paid a low interest rate on deposits of other people's money that he then loaned out at a higher interest. The difference covered the bank's cost of operation and its profit. The logic of this system was simple, and it seemed like a reasonable way to satisfy the demand for credit. However, this is not the way banking works today. Our goldsmith banker was not content with the income remaining after sharing the interest earnings with his depositors, and the demand for credit was growing fast as Europeans spread out across the world. But his loans were limited by the amount of gold his depositors had in his vault. That's when he got an even bolder idea. Since no one but himself knew what was actually in his vault, he could lend out claim checks on gold that wasn't even there. As long as all the claim check holders didn't come to the vault at the same time and demand real gold, how would anyone find out? This new scheme worked very well, and the banker became enormously wealthy on the interest paid on gold that did not exist. The idea that the banker would just create money out of nothing was too outrageous to believe, so for a long time the thought did not occur to people. But the power to just invent money went to the banker's head, as you can well imagine. In time, the magnitude of the banker's loans and his ostentatious wealth did trigger suspicions once again. Some borrowers started to demand real gold instead of paper representations. Rumors spread. Suddenly, several wealthy depositors showed up to remove their gold. The game was up. A sea of claim check holders flooded the street outside the closed doors of the bank. Alas, the banker did not have enough gold and silver to redeem all the paper he had put into their hands. This is called a run on the bank, and it is what every banker dreads. This phenomenon of a run on the bank ruined individual banks and, not surprisingly, damaged public confidence in all bankers. It would have been straightforward to outlaw the practice of creating money from nothing. But the large volumes of credit the bankers were offering had become essential to the success of European commercial expansion. So instead, the practice was legalized and regulated. Bankers agreed to abide by limits on the amount of fictional loan money that could be lent out. The limit would still be a number much larger than the actual value of gold and silver in the vault. Quite often, the ratio was 9 fictional dollars to 1 actual dollar in gold. These regulations were enforced by surprise inspections. It was also arranged that, in the event of a run, central banks would support local banks with emergency infusions of gold. Only if there were runs on a lot of banks simultaneously would the banker's credit bubble burst and the system come crashing down.
Hey, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. Hey, brother, you still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it pretty well. I have that video. I've seen it.
Yeah, that needs to be played a whole bunch of times. I got another one, too. It runs through the Federal Reserve in 3 minutes. Did you hear that one?
Yep, they give you a little graph and chart.
Yeah, and people need to be looking at these things because they are very, very much relevant to what's going on today. This whole thing is a big scam and a sham. So, but my thing is like when people go here and talk about nation building, what kind of banking system would you model your banks after? What could you go ahead and put it up when you got these kinds of models in front of you, see this?
You would have to use an old model that existed before this model.
And which ones were they? Because I don't know. I'm asking questions.
The assumption is that we've made progress with white supremacy.
Mm.
And that's a false assumption. The reality is the gold salt trade in the Sahara was stronger than their economy and their system. Because it was based on honor.
Honor? What's that word again?
Huh?
What's that word again?
You said
the word is it was based on this. What's so based on honor?
Oh yeah, it was based on honor. Yeah.
That's That's a rough one for me, man.
Yeah, that's a foreign word to our current consciousness, I know.
It is, man. That's why I want to get clarity. But I'm going to have to look that word up because I don't know what it means. Let me run that Federal Reserve thing real fast, that 3 minutes of the Federal Reserve.
Let's say the United States needs money. Instead of issuing their own United States notes backed by their own credit, they issue Treasury bonds. They then sell these bonds to the Federal Reserve, which buys them with money they created out of thin air. The money that the Fed created then goes to the U.S. The U.S. then pays interest on the money that the Fed lent to the Treasury. So to clarify, the Fed creates money from nothing, loans that money to the U.S., and then charges interest on that money. What this means is that there is never and will never be enough money in circulation or in existence to pay back that debt. We as a country, as well as private citizens, are forever enslaved by debt with no way of ever paying it off. Now, when the Federal Reserve buys bonds on Wall Street, the major financial firms that have been selected as dealers deposit the proceeds at their own banks. Fed rules require banks to keep 10% of their deposits in reserves, but the bank is free to issue loans equal to the remaining 90%. Let's say the Federal Reserve buys a $1,000 bond. After putting away 10% into their reserves, they are then able to loan out 90%, or $900. Since the original $1,000 is still on deposit, the $900 in loan proceeds is more new money, money created out of nothing. A total of $1,900 of new money is now available in the economy. Now the person that took the $900 loan spends that money. The payee then deposits the $900 into their bank account, and once again, reserves and deposits increase. This process goes on and on until that original $1,000 bond, which was created from nothing, becomes $10,000, making this one full-fledged debt machine while also devaluing the dollar. The more money that is out in the economy, the more the value decreases. There's no wonder that since the implementation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the dollar has lost over 95% of its value. The U.S. dollar will eventually be destroyed due to an overwhelming financial crisis, and a globalist-run monetary authority will come along to save the day. And much like the Fed pretends that its goal is to prevent another Great Depression, the global currency will pledge to prevent another financial crisis, thus putting more power into the hands of a few and enslaving humanity that much more.
Welcome back to the show. Isn't that amazing? That was truly amazing, isn't
it? Yep.
It's amazing that, you know, and it's all, you know, and you're taught that, hey, look, you know, it's backed by gold and all this other stuff. When you look into it, you'll be like, wait a minute, this is all one big ass scam. One big fucking scam. And losing people in the process. I had another one which won't play, which fed into that whole thing and showing you, hey, look, that the Federal Reserve is some bullshit. But it also was telling you you're paying taxes for no fucking reason at all but to go ahead and pay for your own fucking destruction. And this came up by this attorney. I want to get that. I was trying to get that to play, man. That really won't play.
Yeah, none of the tax dollars actually go to any services. That's right.
I mean, it's not. I mean, it's fucking crazy what you see. But we seem to be the ones going ahead and sucking up. You know, going ahead and being the fucking getting hit the hardest and hurt the hardest by this whole damn scam.
But it's the emperor's new clothes. Everybody with the power know the game. But ain't nobody saying that.
Ain't nobody saying that. Let me read this to you right fast. The Federal Reserve System fulfills its public mission as an independent entity within the government. It is not owned by anyone, and it is not a private. What the fuck? Not a private profit-making institution. What the fuck is it then? It's a centralized
It's a private non-profit corporation.
Okay, well, I'm looking here when they say the Board of Governors. This is from the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. They trying to tell you what they're
right.
not.
Right.
And I'm trying to look at their purpose, their mission. It even gets more confusing when you go here and look at the purpose of it.
But when you're a nonprofit, a private nonprofit corporation, you're not a public nonprofit corporation. You're a private nonprofit, which means your nonprofit goes to whatever you want.
Wow.
So it's a front to protect your policymaking from scrutiny.
Wow. I had some numbers before,
private,
man. With...
Which thing?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead and say it again.
I said they administer that process through the foundation. Like all these foundations, the Gates Foundation, the Annenberg CPD Project, all these foundations, the Endowment for the Arts, these foundations are the policy-making places that are protected through the corporate structure by having a trust and having a foundation.
But they keep trying to wipe out the Endowment for the Arts, man. They're trying to go ahead and do away with them. So that's like a conflict, man. You know, they're trying to get rid of them.
They're not gonna do away with them. Those are that one I shouldn't have mentioned because that's federal appropriated funding for that entity. That's a public nonprofit. But the Andy and something Carnegie Foundation, that's not public. That's private.
Mm-hmm.
So the major foundations are private. And from that, they have immunity from the legal system because of how they structure the corporate policies of their companies. So you can live off of a trust and draw down from a trust as a fiduciary agent without receiving payroll. And the
I'm
reason
trying to go ahead
tax,
and see, because I know they snatch a whole lot of money every year. They get a whole lot of cash every year, and I was trying to look up that how much they get, because I saw it one time. At one time, I saw.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean? They I don't understand what you're saying.
They get a lot of cash, man. I mean, a lot of cash going to get paid into them. And there's nobody regulating them, nothing. There's no oversight with them. They get to just do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Who, the Federal Reserve?
Right.
Right, right. Well, ain't nobody checking them out,
and then you throw it on top of that with the whole banking system. And it just makes it even more confusing because when you go here, you're dealing with the banks first. And the way the banks are set up, man, after playing that clip, I'm trying to figure out, what the hell am I putting my money in the bank for? I'm not getting none out of it. And they create this illusion that you're taking your money and going ahead and netting it out to people for a profit. But it really don't seem that way, especially when you look at what's going on today. I mean, you got people out here who wants to go open up businesses, and they don't want to give up no money.
Right. And then how they going to give it out when it's electronic? the electronic transactions have really placed us in a whole new game, and we're not really aware of it. It solidifies the fiction we're playing.
What's the new game?
The new game is electronic transfer.
Explain that, brother.
How you can transfer funds electronically. You can get paid automatic direct deposit. And then you go to the bank and you withdraw your money. Right?
Right. Yeah, I get that part.
But what if everybody came and withdrew their money? That's what he just explained in the last clip.
Oh, yeah, because he was talking about if everybody did that, but he was basically saying on foot. So if you did it electronically, you might.
Right, so it's easier to do a run on the system from any point with the electronics because you can't see where it's generated from. the money system is now officially fictional. At least the fiat currency, although it was fake, there was a tangible fake representative to at least convince you a little bit that, well, it really is money. It got me that Twinkie, you know? Got me that beer.
I got another difference. But you said the primary motivation for creating the Federal Reserve System was to address the banking panic. Mm. Other purposes are stated in the Federal Reserve Act. That's crazy too. The Federal Reserve Act, such as to furnish an elastic currency to afford means of discounting commercial paper, to establish a more effective supervision of banking in the United States for the other purposes. Before founding of the Federal Reserve System, the United States underwent several financial crises. A particularly severe crisis in 1907, which led Congress to enact the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. This shit ain't nothing but a fucking scam. What is elastic currency?
Huh?
What is elastic currency? That's also what I was looking for.
Elastic currency?
Right.
Plastic. Electronic money. Fake money. Fiction. Monopoly money.
Yeah. Elastic currency.
Let's entertain.
Yeah.
Because
much.
He explained this that script as well, that they simply monetize your name. They don't give you any money when you buy a house or you buy something big.
Mm.
And if you ever go to a home closing, the more cash you bring to the table, the more salivating the vultures and demons at the table will be.
Oh my goodness.
They'll be beside themselves. You bring in $50,000 in cash, they'll be beside themselves. Because now they don't have to wait on the gamble on your future payment.
I'm trying to find...
And they have put up nothing, and they get paid.
They get paid. Because I remember once before, it was in the billions that they go ahead and they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
In the billions that they get paid for basically going ahead and stealing from them.
Right. And you know, the mortgages are illegal.
Oh, really? How you figure that?
In the Constitution, they give you 5 years for any mortgage.
Mm. You're going to have to look
at that. Yeah, not to exceed 5 years.
Hey, brother, can I add something? It's Covita, man.
Go ahead, brother. How you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing, Chef Robin? But I was gonna add this. I always look at the Federal Reserve as it's a way that rich people protect their money from people like, you know, Ted Cruz or Ron Paul or, you know, some of these other wackadoos. It's a way that rich people can protect their investments and their property from politics, because that thing is really outside of the realm of politics. It's, you know, it's a private corporation made up of rich people, rich people's revenues, and they designed a system where their money is free from, if you get some nut in office who can shut down a government, their money is still safe. If you get some nut that's in office that, you know, crashes the economy, their money is pretty much still safe.
Look at when it was created with Woodrow Wilson. He didn't do so good as a president, either, did he?
No, I think that, you know, as time went on, the Federal Reserve got more and more power. You know, you see how the chairman makes one statement and the stock market goes up and down, you know, based upon what he might have said. So it's like, it pretty much goes, the Federal Reserve protects the wealth of the wealthy people, where outside of government, because government is subject to an election. You can get a, how many crazy people do we have in office right now? And if you're rich and you have, you know wealth and stuff, you don't want your livelihood dependent on some nut and some, you know, right. Some, because like if you look at these people who are the a lot of the you know, Federal Reserve conspiracy people who's talking about, you know, it's going to be a economic collapse and blase, they're usually got a couple things in common. One of them is they broke. They ain't got no money. They toothless, right. You know, red, they do, and they're sitting up there and they're talking about, you know, the Federal Reserve. If you ever notice, the rich people have no complaint about the Federal Reserve. They think it ain't money. They think, hey, I've got my money backed by the Federal Reserve, which is the Federal Reserve, which is backed by the world's most powerful military on the world. So they stuff is protected. If you had your stuff protected by cruise missiles and you know, tomahawks and all that stuff, you would be the safest. You would have no worries about nothing. That's what the people, those mainly Jewish people, they got all their money in Federal Reserve. They ain't worried about no kind of crash, no kind of pretending collapse coming. Their money is protected.
So but these guys got money in these offshore accounts. So what you're saying is even safer to put your money in banks in within the U.S.?
Yeah, every investor, the safest investment is in the U.S. They don't put no money where a cruise missile can knock you in the head. They put it where the people who send in the cruise missiles. They put it when there's economic calamity in Asia, they dump all their money in the U.S. When there's economic calamity in Europe, they dump all their money in the U.S. The U.S. is the most protected. Because all currency is fiat currency. The only money is real money is who got the biggest gun to your head. When somebody come in and put a gun to your head, you give them what they want. That's the U.S. The U.S. got a gun to everybody's head, and ain't nobody can say nothing. So if you don't have your money back, you won't have the money backed by the person with the biggest military. And that's the way
that sounds like
they want.
Well, let me say something on that now. With the fiat, well, you're absolutely right, but the fiat currency is a decree authorized by a king or a queen. You understand? So it's just it's by the authorization of the Queen of England, bottom line. You know, and all governments who run with fiat currency, which all the governments do, it's just backed by, you know, it's just by the authorization of who's in the king or the queen or whoever's in control of that country. So, you know, fiat currencies, it's just a load of BS, really, because it's not backed by
US,
nothing.
The U.S.
What?
Is still beholden to England, so to speak?
Yeah, but Britain's fucked, because, well, everyone's broke in the U.K. as well. So, you know, it's not like U.K. is living nicely off... They ain't got nothing either. They ain't nothing out here neither. You know, but I mean, they ain't got no genocide programs that they got on you Negroes in the United States. You know, they ain't got that out here. I mean, it's not as bad, you know, because you got to test a lot of psychological, what can I say, MK Ultra tactics, you know, like getting you to kill each other, giving the youth the guns and seeing what a youth can do with a gun in the community. Give the youth the drugs to go and sell and keep Negroes down. You know, that's something that they started in the United States. And now they've brought it all across the world. Wherever you see the white and the black dynamic, you've got blacks selling drugs and out killing each other. You understand? So, you know, as I said, us dealing with the money, you know, we just need professional people, right? The people who can't do those sort of works, they have to be prepared to learn. They can't be lazy-minded. You know, you need to
get
the professional ones.
I agree. Check this out here. Listen to Ron Paul.
He's
telling about the Federal Reserve for a minute. I hope you like this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and welcome, Chairman Bernanke. I am very pleased to be here today as the ranking member, and in the midst of the great optimism of monetary policy and how the economy is doing. I still have some concerns, and of course, one of my long-term goals has always been to emphasize maintaining the integrity of the monetary unit rather than looking superficially at some of our statistics. But I also share the concern of the chairman of the committee of our responsibilities for oversight and your interest as well, Chairman Bernanke, on having the transparency that I think we all desire. Transparency in monetary policy is a goal we should all support. I've often wondered why Congress has so willingly given up this prerogative over monetary policy. Congress, in essence, has ceded total control of the value of our money to a secretive central bank. Congress created the Federal Reserve, yet it had no constitutional authority to do so. We forget that those powers not explicitly granted to the Congress by the Constitution are inherently denied to the Congress, and thus the authority to establish a central bank is never given. Of course, Jefferson and Hamilton had that debate early on, and the debate seemingly was settled in 1913. But transparency and oversight are something else, and they're worth considering. Congress, although not by law, essentially has given up all its oversight responsibilities over the Fed. There are no true audits. Congress knows nothing of the conversations, the plans, and the action taken in concert with other central banks. We get less and less information regarding the money supply each year, especially now that we don't even have access to M3 statistics. The role the Fed plays in the President's secretive working group on financial markets goes essentially unnoticed by Congress. The Federal Reserve shows no willingness to inform Congress voluntarily about how often the working group meets, what action it takes that affects the financial markets, or why it takes these actions. But all these actions directed by the Federal Reserve alter the purchasing power of our money. And that purchasing power is always reduced. The dollar today is worth only 4 cents compared to the dollar that the Federal Reserve started with in 1913. This has significant consequences on our economy and our political stability. All paper currencies are vulnerable to collapse, and history is replete with examples of great suffering caused by these collapses, especially to the nation's poor and the middle class. This can lead to political turmoil as well. Even before a currency collapses, the damage done by a fiat system is significant. Our monetary system insidiously transfers wealth from the poor and the middle class to the privileged rich. Wages never keep up with profits on Wall Street and the banks, thus sowing the seeds of class and discontent. When economic trouble hits, free markets and free trade are often blamed, while the harmful effects of a fiat monetary system are ignored. We deceive ourselves that all is well with the economy and ignore the fundamental flaws that are a source of growing discontent among the various groups. Few understand that our consumption and apparent wealth is dependent on a current account deficit running at approximately $800 billion a year. This deficit shows that much of our prosperity is based on borrowing rather than a true increase in production. Statistics show year after year that our productive manufacturing jobs I think they finally cut me off. Is it on now? Okay. This phenomenon is not seen as a consequence of the international fiat monetary system where the United States government benefits as the issuer of the world reserve currency. Government officials consistently claim that inflation is in check at barely 2%, but middle-class Americans know that their purchasing power, especially when it comes to housing, energy, and medical care and school tuition, is shrinking much faster than at 2% per year. Even if prices are held in check, in spite of our monetary inflation, concentrating on the CPI statistics distracts from the real issue. We must address the important consequences of the Fed manipulation of interest rates. When interest rates are artificially low, below market rates, insidious malinvestment and excessive indebtedness inevitably brings about the economic downturns that everyone dreads. We look at GDP figures and reassure ourselves that all is well, yet a growing number of Americans still do not enjoy the high standard of living that monetary inflation brings to the privileged few. Those who benefit the most are the ones who get to use the newly created credit first.
The gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman would come to a conclusion.
Okay, I will yield back.
Did y'all get all that?
Yeah.
But, you know, like I say, you know, I always say all the time that the worse America go down financially, the less money there is, the better it is for us. You see what I'm trying to say? So, you know, this is only good. I don't really give a shit. I'm happy for this whole thing to just be destroyed. Get rid of money. Money is the root of all evil, bottom line, you know. We need to bring back the times when you can do, when it's accessible for you to be able to do something whereby you can trade your skills for whatever you want. If I'm a good hunter, but you like to build houses and that, then maybe I can hunt, give you food for your family until you build my house. You don't have to worry about looking for food because I'm all feed you. You see what I'm trying to say?
Right.
That's how we got to get to those times.
The thing is, though, the wealthy, their economy is not collapsing. They've got more and more power. The guy was just saying how the Federal Reserve is becoming less clear, and they're getting first of the money. It's like the people who are the wealthy created a Federal Reserve system, and they're outside of. They're not worried about the things that you're worried about. They're not worried about. If the such collapse, they're going to go to a bartering system. They already have the wealth. They already own the land. Their land is already protected by their police force.
Yeah, you see, this is the thing with these white boys, like Lindsay Williams and your Alex Jones. See, they care about themselves. You see what I'm trying to say? You see, what the devil, the higher devils is, they don't really care about the money because they're the ones who print the money. They care about what mindset they've got you on. Will you go out and fight their wars and stuff like that, you know, how are you doing for self? They want you unsucking off their titty or dirt broke, one of the two. They don't want you going out there doing for yourself, creating your own jobs whereby you don't have to go get involved in their wars or fill up their jails. You see, because they're making money off Negroes by going into jail all the time. Imagine they even if they stop the war. The wars that they're going to do, they came back in the country. They're going to need jobs. All those people who are out there to you know, in Afghanistan and all them countries, Syria, they need some, and their army. They're going to need, you know, the war makes them money. And if they're not out there fighting, they're going to be in the country, you know, where you are, and then you know, then they're going to be even less jobs. You see what I'm trying to say?
Oh yeah, I understand you clearly.
Yeah,
yeah,
so,
yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, man. I mean, you're 100%.
No,
right.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, it's just a plus for us, really. You know, it's just a plus. It just depends on how. This is the thing. This is why it's going to be hard for us to do stuff together because we're going to need professional people. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not gonna. I can make more money. Teaching a bunch of white boys, yeah, how to keep fit and how to fight. Then me go and give my. I'm not gonna make as much money if I join an organization and try and help black people. Even though I will do the righteous thing, because money don't mean nothing to me. But I'm just trying to say I can get more money doing private lessons for devils. You understand? The devil will pay me £20 an hour to help him stay fit. You know,
yeah.
And help tell him what to do, run up and down the place and this, that. He could have just done it himself, really. You understand? But I can get more money for that if I go and deal with devils, you know, and other people. You see what I'm trying to, and I keep it freelance. If I want to start helping people now, I know that it's not about money. I just want to see my people do better. And not a lot of us are people who are scientists, who are doctors. They don't want to cut. They got to realize that they're going to take a pay cut. They're not going to make the same money that they make normally. You see what I'm trying to say? And then have they got the patience to teach a novice? That's another thing. Have they got the patience to lend their skills? Because it don't make sense. We have, because if we did all come together, we would probably have like, if you had 10 million blacks, you have 1 million that's professionals, fully trained, and the other 9 million don't know shit. They've just been, you know, doing a mailman jobs, you know, them repetitive jobs. So they don't really have any skills. But then they got to teach. Come down now and teach these brothers and sisters. You understand? And they're not going to really get nothing for it. You're not going to get as much as they would get for going working for the devil. A professor can earn up to, I know in the UK, 70 grand a year, minimum. Go on, brother.
Well, they would get some stuff out of it. I mean, it's one of them sacrifices that has to be made.
But you can't. It's just like
you got to go ahead and show them the head. Look, you know, this, you know, that it's them short term. You know, that short term gain for long term. You know, the short term effect for long term gain. You know,
hey,
so.
Hey, brother. That's like what I tell you with the crime on the street. You lot say, well, we got to give something to the youth in the meantime. But you can't give them the type of money that they make selling drugs, brother. You can't. There's no business that you can put up that's going to make some of these youth. You're going to get some who are just going to go out there and still sell drugs and try and poison the community.
So that's why you got to go ahead.
And you can't make, you, I'm just trying to say, you can't give them the same sort of money.
You can't. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. But you have to also create a situation.
You got to create an atmosphere. Go ahead and pretty much have. They don't. Money won't mean as much. And that's what that thing. So if you go ahead and you develop, you know, you get your little farmland. You get your farmland. We go ahead and get on it. We work that area and show the hey, look, well, you don't need as much money like you're selling drugs because you ain't got to go ahead and pay no rent. We live on this land.
Listen, the other day, the police must have pulled up a Negro the other day. They found £1 million under his bed. You understand? You, and he's only 24. And I'm trying to say, you can't give him that sort of luxury. You can't do it. Some of these youth, they got all 10 grand stashed. 20 grand stashed. And I'm saying, you can't. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you just got to show them that is not an option. Selling drugs. It's not an option. Just like I'm saying with these, if you're gonna deal with these professionals, you gotta be straight and tell them. So we need to know from early. Look, you ain't gonna make the same type of money that you're making if you go and work for this devil. You're doing this mostly for your own you know, for the good of the nation. That's what you're doing it for. You ain't gonna make no money.
Yeah, because there ain't no retirement plan in a lot of that shit. So, you know, see what happens.
If anyone works for your organization, there ain't going to be no retirement plan unless you are working for the damn devil. That's the only way you're going to have a retirement plan. They're going to have to work till they die.
And they're trying to cut a lot of that out. And I just glossed over that, how some of that retirement money has been diverted to the Federal Reserve, too. I'm just saying that. But, yeah, this system here, man. I'm not sure how they do it over there in the UK, but this system here is really, really one big-ass scam.
It's the same thing, brother. It's the same thing.
So what's it called over there?
So you can look at the debt clock, can it? The national debt clock. Your one's about 60. The UK's one's going up by $1 million every 2 minutes is going up a couple million.
Okay, so whose debt is it? That ain't mine. I ain't had shit to do with it. And people keep trying to tell me, well, you live here, that's part of your debt. I don't understand. I don't get how that's part of my debt. I ain't got shit to do with it.
Well, the debt is the interest charged
against the use of the fiat currency.
Let me tell you why.
So I mean, just using their money means
that. But wait. The debt can never be paid off. It's growing so exponentially. It is impossible to ever pay off, and that's how they say it up.
Yeah, because that's what they were saying earlier. That goldsmith tale.
It's not your debt, because remember, it's a monopoly game where they control the interest rate and they control the fiat currency that's not backed by nothing. So it's a game board within their corporation, and people think it's on the world stage.
It's all owed by the Jews anyway. You see what I'm trying to say? They're getting their money from Rockefeller, Rothschild, Warburgs, and all these other, you know, the Queens got stakes in it, you know. Just look at the Bilderberg. All of those members are the ones who are financing everything. They don't care about money. It's just control of the minds. If they control the trade, they can control you. If they say, well, I want to build a big skyscraper here, they got the money to entice me to come and work for them and go and build that. that I, you know, the elite, like, you see, this Lindsay Woodley, trying to say, is the elite. They just want to build, they don't care about money. It's past that, because they make the money. It's never been about money for them.
And every use of money goes back to reinforcing their power. Every conceivable way you could use a dollar would go back to their interest, because it is their ancestors on the dollar. That should be the first clue right there.
They're going to get it back anyway.
It's all geared towards going towards them, because it's not your economy.
And they know the more broke they make people, the more people are going to want to go to war. Because that seems like...
Right, and the problem is this. The problem is the addiction to the system of it. Because if you think about it, real wealth is generated through the quality of the relationships you have with other people.
That's right, brother. That's where
the wealth is actually generated, in the relationships you have. If I agree with you, Chef Rob, or the other brother that I'm talking to from the UK, if I agree with you for X, Y, and Z, and you agree with me for A, B, and C, then that is fair trade.
That's right.
There need not be a monetary exchange medium or a middleman.
That's right. I
that middleman stuff is the usury that they set up, that the Jews set up. And the Jews were not a religion. They were the remnants of the wealthiest money barons and money lenders who created the religion to protect their interests from the Catholic Church.
Really?
And so the reality is they created a lot of what you see now in response to keeping the wealth from an earlier time period. So the brother was right earlier when he said the wealthy elite have been the ruling class in the royal family for centuries, and when the country switched over from queendoms and kingdoms to nation states, they still retained total economic control, because the Federal Reserve and the banking system are the actual agents and the machines that the royalty use to control and siphon off the wealth of all the people. So it's really a machine that they created that serves and protects the elite royal wealthy from that old money.
If we go back in history, we've got to understand, especially when the devil ran up in Timbuktu. A lot of people hid scripts, hid the information they want. Now, they've got a means of getting, you know, accumulating all the resources on this planet with their creation of this fake, this fake money. You see what I'm trying to say? That's all it's been about all the time, so they can accumulate all the wealth of this planet. That's why they made this fake profit without giving you anything.
And even when the trade was flourishing, when Timbuktu and Sankore and Jenin were thriving, and they were the cultural centers of the world, at that time period, the economic system was still based on that honor system that I was telling you earlier, Chef Rob, with the salt gold trade, where they would lay out the gold, the slabs of salt from the Sahara on one area, and they would leave the equal amount of gold in another area, and they would both go home for the night and come get their stuff in the morning.
I always got to laugh at that honor thing there.
I know it's funny because we're so far from that in our mentality, but the reality is that system lasted for thousands of years.
And it seemed like literally overnight they just destroyed the whole fucking thing.
I mean,
it wasn't overnight. It was not overnight.
Compared
one of the brainchilds behind what the...
I mean, really, if you look at it, I mean, I don't mean literally overnight, but, you know, compared to if that system existed for thousands of years, and look at how they... it's been a short amount of time how they literally destroyed that system. That's what I mean.
What
That's true.
this in Africa we used to trade with not well I know in South America they used to trade with quinoa, cocoa bean. You understand? In Africa it was by what you were giving to the plate. You know, like in Timbuktu the currency was books. Gold. Yeah, real gold.
And they had mediums of exchange throughout Africa. But the mediums of exchange were not subject to the economy the way it is in this system.
Yeah, it was a lot of trade. But I'm saying in Timbuktu, though, the main trade was books. You could,
right.
for a book, you could get two cattle.
Books were more valuable than gold. That is correct.
That's, you see what I'm trying to say? So we had lots of mediums of exchange. That's what I mean to say. We had more mediums of exchange. Now
there was a wider field, you're right.
One. Yeah, but now right. They've limited it down to one thing. So I can deal with the lots of ways, you know, because sometimes you could just work it off, you know.
Right.
Like, I could just work for you and work it off. I might want you to do something for me, and I say, all right, I'll work for you for a few days, and then I'll go on my way. You know, that would be a nice... See, if that was the way things were, no one would go broke. See, if tomorrow I wanted to keep things, you wanted to keep things going, no one would have to go broke if things were like that. No one would be homeless because you could just say, all right, I'll work for you. Just give me a roof over my head tonight. I'm homeless, but, you know, you give me a little work and we had that all going
but
around.
See, now you're scratching on to what the economy really is. When we used to have a social structure that when we got married, like say I'm 17, 19, whatever age, I'm getting married. The village, in the ceremony to the wedding, the men in my age grade set with my rites of passage brothers, they would come and help me build the structure for my house as a rite of passage.
Giving you the skills to go ahead and do some other shit, you know?
As not only the skills, but giving you the real estate to have somewhere to lay your head and wash your butt.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something as well.
We have the tangible part and the economic stability part. And so the structures that we were under kept an economy that was subsistence-based and was fluid enough to adjust to the changing environments where the people didn't fall apart. If there was a drought or something, the structure of how they functioned we could still maintain. And so our economy is really based on our relationships, and our self-hatred is driving this monetary system. We lack the vision to get out of it because we love it.
Yep. With that, brother, I want to go ahead and give you my great motivational speaker. It's about that time. That great Jesse Lee Peterson.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. Well, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man, and the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Yeah, everybody, that was a great Jesse Lee Peterson. The best thing black people
was,
got going in the world of
education. I thought that was Uncle Ruckus.
Same shit. Same
shit. I thought
shit.
That was Uncle
Ruckus. Now, you see why this thing, you go ahead and examine some of the shit that's going on in America, like the banking system, and then listen to this fucker here who want to go ahead and get praise to the people who go ahead and put us in a lot of these goddamn problems. This is fucking sad. And I got another one, which was another one didn't play that, you know, from Pastor Manning. It would have been great to go ahead and play with this, to play for tonight's show. Because he was talking about that banking system on how we're whores to Obama, and we just like to give him our money. Some more crazy-ass shit he was saying, man. But we got too many motherfuckers out here like that. And this whole... this big old fraud here about the Federal Reserves snatching the cash, and look at the neighborhoods, man. So much stuff need to be done around here with black folks, and they still paying into this fucking system and don't fucking get it. And I wish that brother, you know, Fukan Muhammad would call in tonight, because he was talking about, you know, where are the black banks? Well, there was some stuff I wanted to get on with him, but, you know, he's still not feeling too well. But we got a big problem, people. A very big problem. Big problem.
We need to get out of the minds of, you know, these banks and stuff like that. You know, we want to. Let me tell you something. If we had the right profession, right? We went to Africa with the right professions. We have doctors and engineers. We can go as far as in it. We can go far. Mechanics. People who know about, you know, electronics and stuff like that. We need proper grafters, professionals, builders, laborers, bricklayers. That's what we need, man. We don't need all these attorneys, lawyers, bullshitters. We don't need that. Preachers,
nobody
we don't
really
need
could...
that.
You
we
guys,
don't need that.
I mean,
and we need
the individuals.
For hum.
They
this is
what I gather about becoming an attorney, especially in the U.S. You pretty much, after you go to school, you still got to get the okay from the U.S. government. They still got to check you out and see, well, hey, whether you fit to be an attorney in the U.S. You still got to
That's the British bar out of London.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the U.S., they do the same shit, don't they?
Well, no. You're misunderstanding me. That's who approves of the U.S. lawyers.
Yes.
Really?
You can be a lawyer, but you're an advisor. If you get a law and you don't go through bar, you can just give people business advice. I mean, law advice. That, you know. But then if you want to be a proper, you know, going in the court of law, you have to go through the British bar, yeah. It's all
right.
Masonry. It's all
if you
masonry,
get Esquire,
brother.
If you get Esquire, you're a part of that British bar.
Yeah, it's all masonry, brother, man.
It is, and a lawyer is different than an attorney, is different than a counselor, and is different than an Esquire.
Okay, what's the difference?
Well, just like you would have, anybody who lives in the UK would tell you, and they think anybody who doesn't live there is stupid, where you don't understand that London is not England, England and Britain are not the same, and neither is Wales and Scotland.
No.
But the outsiders see it all as one thing, but the people who live there know that it's not.
Yes.
Am I correct?
You're correct. Because
the people from Cornwall do not feel the same way as the people from Scotland.
No. And the people from Wales don't like the people from the UK, from England.
Exactly. And the UK is a conglomeration of
yes.
the tentacles of the empire.
Yes. Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales,
right.
Scotland.
Right. Right. And so that's my point about the Federal Reserve System. It is the cash cow computer system that's running the economy for the wealthy elite. They're running it. And they're running the monopoly game.
Yes.
And the thing that we can do better is we have failed to realize that not only are we using the monetary system and getting enslaved that way, but the very creative things that generate money out of nothing, that generate value in money or whatever medium of exchange, you generate value, are the things that we produce even in our ignorance. Because those pants companies made a killing when they started making them saggy.
Shit.
Those T-shirts made a killing when they started making them longer because we wanted them longer.
And this is why I say, brother, you know, it's all going to come from
what
the mind.
Say, you know,
the mind of the
people. Market demand.
What'd you say?
Making a creating a market demand, making something else that the market would go ahead and say, hey, look, well, we need this. So, hey, look, and that's the man.
Yeah, but
you know what I got? You know where I got my greatest economic lesson from?
What's that?
A Tom and Jerry fucking cartoon. I was about in the sixth grade, and I was watching Tom and fucking Jerry, and Tom the cat was chasing Jerry, terrorizing his ass, and Jerry said, wait a minute. Let me act like I got something in my hand. So he turned around real quick and act like he had something in his hand. He was hiding it from Tom. Tom started chasing him. He got distracted. And he was like, what you got? And so Tom started looking closer, and Jerry was like, nope. Mm-mm. He turned around. Nope. You ain't going to see it. And Tom came closer and closer. And when Tom got real close to Jerry and trying to look and see what's in his hand, Jerry popped that motherfucker right in the eye. And that's called marketing. You make your shit exclusive, and you make people want your shit, and when they get up close, you hit them in the eye with that shit. Bam, bitch, you got it.
That's a good analogy there.
Man, that's some shoes put that cartoon together, so I know it's valid. watch some Bugs Bunny and see if you can figure out some economic shit out of that shit.
Well, they put truth everywhere.
If you want to know the psychology of a Negro, all you got to refer to is that same Looney Tunes by watching the sheepdog and the wolf. Hey, Sam. Good morning, Ralph. Hey, Sam. They punch in, they fight all day, they punch out, and they do that shit every day. The sheepdog is a dog. He's supposed to be eating the sheep with the damn wolf because that's his cousin. He's a dog. But instead of doing that, the sheepdog wants to serve Martha. Martha, I will protect this sheep for you. That's a nigga right there.
That's a nigga, right?
Peterson is that sheepdog.
If the devil wants to know about Negroes, all he has to do is watch Boondocks. Watch your comedy. Watch our comedies. That's all, you know, Paul Mooney, what's his name, Chris Rock. That's all they have to do. You know, we show our asses all the time, man.
We
don't have to look too far to find out how am I going to know the Negro. All we have to do is watch the stand-up comedians and watch Boondocks. You get a full in-depth.
You don't like Boondocks,
no,
man?
No, every type of Negro is in the Boondocks.
You don't,
I don't
like
every single type.
It's good, but you've got devils out there watching it. I don't like that shit. Certain things should just
that's,
be,
that's,
you know, I don't
that's
like.
Airing, that's airing dirty laundry for in-house
that's
information.
Right. Just like comedians. Just like comedians. That's not even like comedians, really. You know, they're funny to everyone. You know, people say, you know.
Did you see that one with Cheryl Underwood recently who was talking about black hair?
Oh, she was awful.
She was awful with that
orange lipstick on looking like a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Looking like a cheeseburger.
What the white girl was saying was, hey, look, you know, they're collecting hair and all this other stuff. And Cheryl Underwood said, oh, you don't want to be collecting no black hair. That's horrible. That's terrible. She was just going in. I wish that was on my Facebook page. And that shit, she shouldn't have said the shit she said. That shit was terrible. And the one white girl was saying, hey, look, her kids are mixed. And she was like, well, you still don't want to collect that kind of head. She, man, I couldn't find that shit, man. Wish that shit I should play.
Because
that was some horrible shit she was saying. And you got so many... You got comedians out here... Say that again?
I said, you know who Cheryl was mimicking in real life?
Who?
She was the real life enactment of Precious.
Oh, I ain't seen that movie, man.
You don't need to see it. Precious said in the first opening scene, I'm going to marry me a white boy and have me some light skin baby.
Wow. Ah, see? The first opening scene, she was with her blonde wig on, dancing around the department store scene or something.
Really? No, I ain't need to
see
no shit like that, man.
You gotta understand, brother, even if we want to make a movement or anything, you have to deal with the social issue first.
Right.
It's always going to be an issue, no matter what you do. The social issue will always be the problem. That's why we can't get going, brother.
What's the primary social issue, brother from the UK?
Oh, what was the primary social issue? It's the fact that we ain't got no control over our children. That's the way it is. We ain't
okay,
got no
now,
control
you know what
over
I say? You know what I would say?
Yeah.
I don't
and let me tell you something. Hold on, one more thing as well. And we got our women out here showing their asses. That's enough. That's why no country respects you. People. If you can't protect your woman, fuck it. You ain't getting. I don't. If I respect a man, if I know that he's gonna die for his woman, if he tells me that he ain't looking to die for his woman, I don't respect him. Cause that's the
I know that's
right. Sherry's bed with. That means I know that this nigga will lie with snakes. You understand? Mm. Because he's lying down with his woman, but he won't die for her.
Now I agree with you. I agree with you on those 2 points. But let me take it to a different place. It's actually, the problem is really the self-hatred. The self-hatred is the economy that is white supremacy.
I don't agree.
That self-hatred is the fuel for the economy that we now know.
I can't argue with you. Just like my thing is a major problem. Once we get past, that probably is the first thing, the self-hatred, then we have to start dealing with our women and gaining the respect of our youth. Because we can't have a youth swearing at another man or even wanting to raise his voice to our women. You understand? We can't have that. But there's too many scared Negroes in the community. You don't want to say nothing. You know, I was on the bus the other day. And, you know, these youth, they're making up, you know, they're playing their phone loud on the bus, keeping up, you know, people in the bus. And I just told them to shut them up, turn that shit off. You know, no man don't want to say nothing. They're making lots of noise and running up and down up in the bus. And no man don't want to say nothing. So I was just sitting back, just waiting. And I'm saying, no man ain't going to say nothing. These are little school youth. You understand, but maybe because I've got little brothers them ages, that's why I don't fear young youth, you know? I don't really fear them.
And why don't the men say anything? Why don't we say nothing?
Because they're scared, and most of them are overweight, and they're smoked out. They don't do no keep fit nothing. They don't run, they don't do nothing. Most men are just slobs. They go to work and come home. Same repetition every day, like they're crazy and insane. They don't do nothing. They don't really don't do nothing.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what the truth is. Or my wife has said it on the radio herself. The truth is, the quality of the women that raise these men determine how soft these men are.
Truth.
Ooh, wait a minute. Hold on, it's too far. I used to have a clip I used to always try to play called Bitter Mama. And it was basically go ahead and dealing with a sister would go ahead and cut down men and go ahead and say, men ain't shit. But then it was pretty much, you know, then the sister was saying, well, really, what you're saying is your ass ain't shit. Because you raised a young man and to be shit.
Right.
But again,
I've heard these bastards who have sons. And they'll turn around and say, my sons are good men.
Mm.
It's like, after hearing you say that,
Do you think they ain't picked up the fragments of that through their life that you done said and put it together? So it is the women that the men do all of their activities for. It is the electromagnetic power of the womb that gets any economy popping. It is the role of the women to handle and control all local marketplaces. It is the role and duty of the men to handle all distant and foreign trade. The men are the middlemen for the business that the women generate. That's the natural order.
But we ain't doing all the job, though, isn't it? So we're not laying that out for them. But I
think you can't get a lot of guys to go ahead in modern day times to go ahead and say, okay, well, let's feed into that and let's go ahead and build something. No, these motherfuckers out here going to treat women like shit.
But brother, we've turned this on a, like, us against them sort of thing. Willie Lynch, between a black man and a black woman. Now, I saw certain things like, you know, last year I saw the black woman on the bus and the old man knocking her up. I see these brothers just standing up there taping it on their camera. See, these sort of behaviours, and you ain't got one Negro who wants to stand up and go and say something. She's got every right to say that the man ain't nothing, because he can sit back and watch another man knock her out and not even come to the aid. He's sitting back laughing and pointing it on his phone. And we don't protect our woman, man. We don't.
That's true. Let me tell you, as a father of a female, we don't protect our girls by teaching them not to get on no bus like that ignorant woman did.
Truth.
Because think about it. When you go to Home Depot, when you go to the Walmart, when you go to the King Super, the Kroger, or the Jewels, or whatever, groceries, or Piggly Wiggly, wherever you at, whatever region you in, the people that give you the hardest time when you have to return something, when you have to get something fixed, when you need something, is a sister.
Yeah.
You tell me I'm lying. Everywhere you go and you got a problem, if it's the child support, it's a sister. If it's the goddamn parking meter, it's the sister. Nah, nigga, you getting this ticket. So really think about what I'm saying. I'm not bashing my sisters because I love them, and I come from a sister. What I'm saying is the feminine energy out of control is the reason why we have no control. And we have not protected them in the way that directs their energy to its best use. That's protecting them. Because if we let the energy run amok and let the white man run our black women's feminine energy, you get the world you live in now. And she's the one running it for him.
Exactly. Yeah.
The scandal that took place in Atlanta concerning the school system and the embezzlement of all the public funds for the school system was all black
right.
women. That scandal where the sister was suspended and kicked out of school. Fuck school. I don't give a damn about school. No way. That's some brainwashing shit. But regardless, she got kicked out of school because she wore locks. She was kicked out by a wig wearing nigger. Sister.
Wait. In Oklahoma?
Man.
Really?
So the sister kicked her ass out.
Really? I thought it was me. Oh, wow.
You would assume
that's what it was.
You know,
it was. Say that again? Hello?
I don't know where it was going, yeah. But yeah, it's a sister that you usually see. And this is the other thing. Sisters have no sisterhood. Like the brothers, like the passage with the brotherhood, the sisters have their system with the sisterhood. And without that in place, we're not going to do any damn thing. Because anything a nigga do, a sister will undo. If she does not agree with where you're coming from with it. And if you are not the white man with the power, you don't have any authority and she's not listening to you. I think niggas already know that with the quality of women we got right now.
Yeah.
And the quality of the, but you know, the quality of God, the quality of the man as well. You know, the quality of our men is just bad as well.
Yeah, yeah, you know what?
I mean, wait. Let me address this. The quality of the man ain't a goddamn thing without the mama. The women raise the boy and the girl. That's what we keep on fucking forgetting.
Isn't it like a vicious cycle, though? I mean, a vicious circle?
It's a vicious cycle. Because this is what happens. The women raise the boys into the men that they hate.
That's crazy.
Every man that ain't no damn good had a no damn good mama. Y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all done seen some shit, even in the UK. That's the mamas are due. Now, I'm not blaming them because we're all under Scunion. You know, they're whipping our ass. We in slavery. But I'm telling you the cause and effect. And I'm telling you, wait a minute. I'm telling you the possibility. This is where it's coming from. It's coming from the ancestral wisdom. That's all this is coming from. When you educate a woman, you educate a nation. When you educate a man, you educate an individual. Because she is the mother civilization, because she raises boys and girls, whether he's there or not.
But let me again, you know, with these guys. I mean, some of them have, you know, that I grew up with. They had good mothers. I think it's the mothering. I think it's, you know, not having a father. And the fact that, you know, mommy makes everything better, you know. I just think...
No.
Because
what
there
is,
was no man at home.
It's the effeminization of the black male because the mama ran the daddy off.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying that I think what it is that the woman, she lets the boy be a man. Or act like a man. Once he gets too big, he gets bigger than her. Once the boy is bigger than her, like you should see certain, you know, single women with 9-year-olds who are running the home. Like he's the man of the house because she feels, you know, he's too big for her. He's too outgrown her, you know, in size. So she finds it hard to command respect. So now she has to try and bribe him to do everything. See what I'm trying to say, and it kind of gives him that mentality whereby, you know, I can get what I want. You know, the mentality.
The problem with that is you're correct in that assessment. The problem with that is that's fairly recent. That is not our legacy. Our legacy, even in my lifetime, you don't let no child run you. That's our real legacy.
Right.
That's your mom. Don't talk to your mama like that. That's your mama.
True. You know what?
We're going to go ahead and call it in direct there, brothers. I'm glad you two showed up. And I had some more to my mouth. A few other brothers that were supposed to call in because I want them to chime in and give us more stuff because they got a little bit more information on the banking thing. I'm having that going on a lot. But I'm going to try to be here tomorrow because there's a couple of like I said, again, thanks for showing up, brothers.
And hope up. Good conversation. Appreciate you, brother, from UK.
Yes.
Thank you, man. Let's always have this conversation. That's what it's all about. We always talk and come to some kind of common ground. You guys agree?
For sure.
I agree with everything the brother said.
Okay. I hope to see you tomorrow. I should be tomorrow. Yesterday I ran into a little problem. I hope to see you tomorrow. All right, peace.
All right. Hope up.